You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I just want to say how very sorry I am for...
She should be locked up until she tells us what happened!
The truth is that I want an answer just as bad as all of you.
We're talking about 17 kids in one classroom. I want to know what happened in that classroom. Why just her classroom? Why only her?
We are our children.
I love those kids.
This is a true story that happened right here in my town. A lot of people die in a lot of really weird ways in this story, but you're not going to find it in the news.
Those kids walked out of those homes. No one pulled them out. No one forced them. What do you see that I don't?
Show me. Where did you go?
There's something very, very wrong going on.
Well, hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I'm unsure of who I am at the moment. I could be a weapon. I'm not sure. But you know who I know is absolutely a weapon? Jill. Jill is absolutely a
Look
weapon.
Look at those fucking guns.
Boom! And Quinny is potentially a weapon.
Look, I had to register my entire body as a deadly weapon, as legally one is bound to when one is as hard a bastard as I am.
I was actually going to say, if you commit to it, Quinny, if you put yourself on a regime, if you go to the gym, you could build yourself into a weapon.
Buddy, I am a weapon. It's just like I'm a 10-pound fucking gun. I'm like, you know, you're thinking of like a fast kind of swooshy weapon. I'm more like a fat
a
man bomb
ram.
That gets dropped on. You know, so it's technically still a weapon.
I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, well, I know. And as Tullandar says, better being a weapon than being a tool. What are you?
Now you're a wanker. Don't tism me. That'll go down a rabbit hole. We're not going to do that. Yes, okay. Weapons. We went and saw weapons.
We did.
We
Kanga. A water bomb is a weapon too.
it's all about what is a weapon.
I was gonna say, is that my physique? Is that what we're saying?
Philosophically. okay, so story time now.
Oh, yes.
A while back, Jill and I went and saw a little film.
Yeah, we trauma bonded over
Barbarian. We didn't know what was going on. We went, it was like, oh, it's this film. It's called Barbarian. Okay, whatever, we'll go do that. And they were good. And they gave us, you know, some alcohol. And we're like, oh, yeah, let's get on this. And started watching a film. And then, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes into it, we started going, wait, where the fuck is this going? And it just proceeded to get even fucking more terrifying and crazy all the way to the end. And then we walked out going, that was fucking cool.
Yes. It was fucked up, but it was cool.
Yeah. It was good.
So, Dion, you're not normally a huge horror fan, are you?
No. But like
you will watch it if it's in front
of you. You know, like, I'm not the sort of person who's like, oh, is it gory and horror? Sure, I'll go and laugh. I'm just more like, I don't really need to see that. it has to be a good horror.
Elevated horror.
Elevated horror, yes. I know, it's a discerning horror. Which, you know, like the traditional stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, and
Friday the 13th
and all that. I don't really go into it. I don't need to see gore for the sake of gore.
Those are like a subgenre, though. Those are slasher films.
Yeah, and slasher. Yeah, but a good horror.
Not into torture porn. Like, you know, that kind of stuff where it's just watching people be
like
hurt.
Saw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, all that kind of stuff can kind of get a bit confused in. But, you know, I can't say I'm a fan of it because, you know, given the choice, I'm not sure that I'd go and see Barbarian or Weapons again in that kind of sense. But was it a good film? Yeah. But, you know, it was just that way that it, kind of went through. So, sure. I'm not a huge horror fan. Jill though.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Loves it. Except for
clowns.
Yeah. No. So, no it.
No it. So, I'll never watch
you're
it.
Not looking forward to Welcome to Derry then.
Probably not.
It's yes. The prequel to it.
Good, yeah, because I would have thought it was something to do with Derry Girls and I would have gone and seen it. And I would have been very upset.
My word, you would have. It's a TV series coming out soon. Yeah, and yeah. I'm actually really pumped because it was one of those books that fucking creeped the shit out of me as a kid.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm like,
I couldn't stare at a drain for a very long time.
Sure.
Because my father would say, oh, it lives in the drains and it eats little children. Yeah, so here I am in the shower, not making eye contact with the drain,
with the drain.
Thinking it was any kind of drain that this fucking clown lived in.
Which technically it did. So it does live in every drain and it is a clown.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't look down there because you'll see something staring back. And I was fucking... He's terrified.
Yeah. 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 Like, if I go down that rabbit hole, I can still easily terrify the shit out of myself.
Yes.
So
I do kind of tend to watch horror as a form of therapy because I'm in a constant state of fight or flight with anxiety. And if I watch a horror film, then I know that that is something that I can't control.
Sure.
And I just have to go along for the ride. So I mean, it just kind of like purges the fright out.
And also it gives you that moment of tension and then release. Whereas having a life of anxiety means there's no release.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just tension. Constant fucking ongoing tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Quinny, do you consider yourself a fan of horror?
As a kid, fuck no. Like, I was terrified of anything that looked even remotely like horror. You know, like, even seeing a cover of a VHS of something like Extro or Fright Night or something like that was enough to make me, you know, have nightmares for ages.
Sure.
So it took me a really long time till I ever went anything near horror. And I came to horror through sci-fi. So, you know, the first horror that I watched was Aliens.
Cool.
And because that wasn't really a horror, that was, you know, an action film that had horror elements.
Mm.
Then I went back and watched Alien and was scared shitless. But then I started to kind of get into it, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers and stuff like that.
Sure.
And now I have a thing that I'm not in a huge rush to go and watch a horror.
Yeah,
but I will watch a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, back to this whole sort of story when Weapons came out, and it's by Zach Cregger, who Jill and I have had the Zach Cregger experience with Barbarian. And while we were like, this is going to be like, I remember I was looking at it going, oh, great. Oh, wait. I'll go. Like, I'll go see what this is. But I knew what I was going into. The funniest thing was watching it with Quinny, who had not had this experience at all. Just going, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah.
That's in fact, there are multiple times in the film where characters exclaim loudly, what the fuck?
True.
And I agreed wholeheartedly with them.
Yeah.
Because there is a part of this where I feel like Weapons is communicating with the audience in a really interesting way, and it doesn't spoil anything. I just feel like there are parts of the movie and beats of the story and things that are going where the filmmakers are communicating with the audience, going, we've just shown you a bunch of fucked up shit, and we've had a character on screen say, what the fuck? And the whole audience is like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it was an interesting, as you were saying, the release of tension. And I felt like that came through at the end too, where it diverged a little bit, but allowed the audience to have that tension release, which has been built up for the whole thing. So I consider this one not particularly a horror, but it is. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But
it's a proper horror, but
it's a really good tension film.
Yeah. Mm. And Karina asked, is it more of a thriller? But I would say no, it's definitely leaning.
No. No.
It's not thriller.
No, because the horror
it does
is
good tension building.
Yeah.
And it is it has that kind of thriller kind of thing, but no, it's very definitely.
Yeah. As you say, like, oh, I'm not good with jump scares. I'm like, well, maybe this is not for you.
No. Like, in fact, this has moments that are not jump scares, but like there are some of the most effective moments of
horror, like just
skin crawling horror that I have seen in a long time.
That contain
hearing a whole audience react to them was oh wow.
And they have no blood. It's just really good fucking creepy shit.
Yeah.
That you're waiting for something.
I love all of that stuff. And when one of the big jump scares happened and I screamed.
You did.
It was great.
In a big way.
And look, let's be honest, we all knew it was coming. Like, that's one of the great things. When you still have that result, like, oh, fuck, even though I knew it was coming.
I'm like, oh, my God, I know this is coming. And then it did. And then I screamed. And I'm like, I haven't screamed at a jump scare in ages. Yep. So it was a good payoff.
And do you want to know what the film's actually about?
No, not
yet.
Sure. One second. Can I ask one question? Because I don't actually have any music and you've caught me off guard. The last movie that I saw that did the same kind of thing that I really actually didn't enjoy was Smile 2.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, and I mean...
Oh, you should get into that, Jill.
Yeah, it's on telly. I'll watch it.
Yeah. For the discomforting side of it, D, or the...
No, the way that it, like, I mean, Smile, which I haven't seen, and I saw Smile 2 going in blind, which is a bit funny, but I understood the craft and I thought they did it really well, but their jump scares became a point where it was just, this is the building to a jump scare, whereas I liked Weapons more because it was like, is it a jump scare? Maybe. You know, and it was sort of smarter done. And then sometimes it was like, hey, it's not a jump scare. It's just something absolutely fucking terrifying that doesn't really do it. Yeah, and it's not about something you that is terrifying. It's the idea of it is built and constructed in such a great way. The audience is filling in their brain about how terrifying and what bad things could happen. And then it doesn't really happen that way. It just puts the situation goes, hey, how would you react in this situation? And everyone in the audience is going, fuck no. I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to do this. I want to leave. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Synopsis time. Do you know what I've got? I've got on the boards for the music to go behind it is stuff from K-pop Demon Hunter. So do you want that? Why not? We haven't had enough of K-pop.
Why the fuck not? I mean, by the way, the Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters went to number one of the Billboard charts today.
Wow.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, let's hear it again.
We're just increasing its plays.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you going to give us like a Anna Delvey?
Oh, but I can because you're a poor.
Yes. Do it.
Okay. When all but one child from the same classroom mysteriously vanish on the same night at exactly the same time, because they're poor, a community is left questioning who or what is behind their disappearances. Sorry, that just turned into this the chick going... from SBS.
I was like, it's like Christoph Waltz and Christopher Walken met.
Christoph Waltzen. I apologize to everybody. That was the absolute peak of shit accent.
Wait, was that the whole synopsis?
Yeah, when all but one child from the same class. I can do a slightly longer one. So it's a horror film about a community grappling with the disappearance of 17 children from the same class, all vanishing at the same time on the same night. Mm. And it follows the aftermath, exploring themes of trauma, grief, and the unsettling nature of the events as the townspeople try to understand what happened and who is responsible.
So we're double synopsis. Okay, one of them was backed by K-pop and the other was just a flat scare. So, okay, fine.
Yeah, good, sorry.
Good.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
So
it's how we should do it. That's how we work. And there was a little gesture in there. I'm sorry.
Very importantly, there was a notice in front of the screening, which was, hey, don't spoil it for people. Let people go in. And I thought, okay, it's a bit naff. Let the thing stand on its own. You know, there's no need to go through it. But it went on upon reflection. Having it's been out for a while now, I actually kind of go, yeah, I don't really want to do a big spoil because not that I think you'd lose anything from it. I just think it's a more interesting film to not know sort of the last third going into it. I think it has a better effect not giving a shit about it. Like, don't really listen to people reviewing it and spoiling stuff, because you kind of lose it.
I think, yeah, I mean, the trailer was enough. And then kind of like discovering what is actually going on is, I think, lends more to the suspense and keeps it interesting.
Yeah. I do want to talk like a little bit structurally about what happens at the end of the film. Okay. But I don't want to talk about the facts of it, like, you know. But anyway, let's not talk about that bit. Let's talk about the beginning of the film. So our base concept, a bunch of kids run away one night, but it's not just that they run away. They Naruto run away.
They Naruto run. They're going to storm Area 51.
Yep.
At 2:17 in the morning.
At 2:17. And it's all through grainy camera footage. And I love the little childlike voiceover narration of like, this is a true story. This is the stuff that happened and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, a bit
naff. Gives it a little bit of found footage vibe, which is always like a bit creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. This does that whole found footage and like different cameras and stuff like that so much better than that War of the Worlds bullshit.
Fuck. Don't even. It's an interesting one too, because, what I really like about it is it is an easy to understand story. It's set in suburban Americana. It's sort of, there is something creepy going on in a space that generally wouldn't be considered creepy. And I think he did it also in Barbarian, like did it, and I really enjoy that. It doesn't necessarily need rich people, poor people. It's not about, you know, X and Y. It's like, look, this weird thing happened that has probably been going on for a long time in this, and everyone is unsettled by it. But in the end, life will keep going. And I really like they explain that at the start. They're like, oh, this really strange thing. And in the end, everyone just sort of accepted it and moved on because it was too upsetting for people. And I really like that. It gave it a good basis and a good foundation to sort of settle in and go, okay, what the fuck did happen?
But also it does that very smart thing of going, okay, how do people in, you know, small towns react to bad things happening? They'll turn.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And the most obvious person to turn on is the school teacher. So if every kid from the class bar one, you know, doesn't show up, who's the first thing you're going to look at? The school teacher. You're going to ask questions there.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm like, why is this one kid left on?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What's going on with this kid?
And the good thing is they actually show you. Like, they interview the kid. They do a lot of, like, they go to great lengths to really show you that due diligence has been done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and this is just, there is no answer. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, it's puzzling.
And like, I love that they used it quite well in this, like the vignette sort of style, the way they chop it up and they follow, you know, you get introduced to kind of some of the characters and then you get, like, as you get introduced to more, it starts replaying their stories. And I like the way that they use that quite effectively, which is like, here's this person and this is their story. And then we'll follow someone else and it overlaps and it overlaps and it overlaps until you finally get
until
to the...
Until there's a point where it's like, hang on a second, something really fucking weird's going on.
And until it gets to the point where it's like, okay, we've given you enough backstory about how all these things are kind of overlapping and then we're just going to follow this one and explain exactly what happened. And you are like, by that time, you're like, oh shit. Like, how do you resolve this? What the fuck did happen?
Yeah. It was a good point to reveal it as well, because like it was a very kind of slow burn intro to the movie. And I was like, oh, where is this going? Like it's maybe becoming a little bit dull until like you do get that pivot point and it's like, oh, fuck. Sure. Okay, now strap in because I'm ready for the rest of this.
Yeah, shit's gotten real fucked up. It's interesting because I was watching it and my immediate thought was the film Rashomon. Which is the one where they tell the same story but from different perspectives and you see the way that it interacts. It's like that, but it's sort of just showing you different parts but then continuing the story on.
Yeah. And thank God you made the cultural reference and didn't go with like Pulp Fiction.
Sure.
Well, yeah, no, because I'm all filmically fucking knowledgeable and shit.
Look, you know,
it was like, where did that reference come from?
Mm-hmm. You know, Barbarian, great one, much shorter. Like Barbarian's only 100 minutes.
You're right.
This one's 128 minutes, so we get almost an extra half hour of, you know, additional weirdness, which I think was deserved in this one. Like, I really like the pacing and the punch of Barbarian because it just kind of like starts off real slow and then starts hammering through. This one, it has the same sort of thing. It starts off real slow, but gives you time to build that tension. And then I think at the end, a little bit more time. Like, when you started explaining things, I thought it would move a little bit quicker, but I have to admit by the end of it, I was like, oh no, I'm fine with how you decided you wanted to go with this. And by the time you get to that big turn or the big understanding about what is going on, which I say is like 2/3 of the way through the film, it does delve into stuff where I'm like, is this funny? Is this not funny? But also, how are you going to resolve this? And the only way to do it is kind of with a little bit of ridiculousness. But I thought it served it quite well.
I think the thing that worked for me about it was the way the characters each sort of had their very clear part of the story. And when it intersects with one particular place, that's where shit starts to go badly wrong for everyone. You know, you're trying to, everybody's trying to work out something, and they've all got their challenges. So you've got our Julia Garner, who's playing Justine, who obviously school teacher. Josh Brolin is the dad of one of the kids. Benedict Wong is one of the
principal
of the school. Alden Ehrenreich is one of the cops.
Just a cop.
And Austin Abrams is a junkie, for lack of any better description. And each of them have their thing, their story, their interaction.
Yeah.
Sure.
And each of their encounters with what is going on, and so you kind of get their perspective on, oh man, how do we
it's hard, isn't it?
You get there, they put out, like, I mean, the film posits a strange occurrence, and then all of these different people come into it in different ways, like they're approached it, they're affected by it in different ways, and the way that they approach it is all 100% what everyone, you and I, would do. Like,
yeah.
There is no stupid situation, I have to admit. There's nothing stupid about each of these characters and the decisions they're making along the way. It's just that there is something else affecting them. And we, as the audience, know that there is something real bad happening. And we can't stop them, even though within their characters, like, you know, the problem with horror and like that kind of stuff, you're like, don't go into there, that's stupid, you'd never do that, stop splitting up. I don't think there's one character in this that makes a dumb decision. Every single character is like, this is weird, but I need to find the kids, and I'm just going to do something that's seemingly innocuous but suddenly ends up in a world of hurt. Like, and that's what I thought was great about it. It isn't one of those things like, watch out for the slasher, they're going to get you. It's like, no, they don't know they're going to be gotten because they're doing something really boring.
Yeah.
Like going to a house in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bad shit happens, not because they made a dumb decision, because something else is affecting them.
Yeah, it's smart, and it doesn't treat its audiences in any way stupid. It takes some weird turns.
Oh, like, 100%.
Like, there's, I don't know whether we talk about it afterwards or what, but there's stuff in the last act that I was just like, what the fuck? and it really goes in some very strange directions. But up until that point, you've also had a bunch of pretty fucking weird moments. And there's a point where, like you said, Jill, it's gone fairly slowly for a while.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where it just suddenly ramps up and it's no longer creeping dread. Now it's running, fucking screaming.
Naruto running.
Naruto running, screaming, terrifying. Yeah. This is bullshit terror.
And look, I liked it because they set everyone up as an unreliable narrator or character. Mm. Like everyone is unreliable in this. You immediately start following Justine, who is the school teacher, and they go to great lengths to explain why maybe she did it, you know. And they do all of that. Like maybe the father, like is Josh Brolin's character, is maybe he's got something to do with it because he seems overly crazy at certain points of time. But ultimately, it's very sane reactions to a very insane situation. And I think that was the success of how it worked for me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm. Also, there's one shot beautifully. Also shot beautifully.
A lot of it in the very, very, very dark.
But that's what worked, man.
Absolutely. Like there were a lot of sequences moving around through dark houses and at night and stuff like that, which, you know, is one of those great tropes of all things horror. I do remember watching something recently, only in the last couple of years, where I was blown away that they did a horror, but in full daylight.
Oh, okay.
And I'm buggered if I can remember what it was, but it really impressed me that they managed to do horror in full light. This one does a bit of it here and there. The character I wanted to call out that I thought was really impressive was James, our junkie buddy.
Really?
Okay, why was he impressive?
His character, like in terms of performance-wise, not likable. Not likable at all, but the energy that he came at that with, like the really nervous, fucked up energy and the complete sort of unreliability of the character, I was like, fuck, that's a really good performance. Yeah. I don't like the guy. I don't like him at all, but that's because it's a really good performance.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But yeah. I mean, yeah, that was to be honest, halfway, like by the time we got to that character, I didn't know how they were going to make him scary because he is just a junkie. And they did do some pretty good scary scenes of that in just really boring situations. Technically, when you look back at it after the jump scares and after everything has happened, you're like, fuck, that was so tense for something that was really boring.
There is a sequence, and possibly the sequence that the whole cinema reacted to the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I love about it, and I'm not going to try and describe it because it would be doing it a disservice to describe the sequence. But what I loved about it was that it was fear created almost purely through sound. Like there's a visual element to it, something that is this growing danger.
Yeah.
But then the use of sound was the thing that made the whole audience go, fuck no. Like literally the guy behind me, when you heard a particular sound, a door open, just went, oh no, oh no, no, no. And I heard.
Is this the dream sequence?
No.
No?
No, no, no.
No.
Okay.
It's this slight stalking sequence.
In a car.
Oh. Yeah, right. Yep.
See, this is what I'm talking about. The ability to create tension based around very boring, very banal, very normal shit in this is great by doing, you know, great things. I was like, great, it's gonna be in the middle of the night. It's like 2 a.m. Shit's creepy anyway.
Yeah.
And now we're gonna make this creepier by making it sound like there aren't many sounds, like you can hear things but you don't need to see it. Like if you hear, don't show. It can be very creepy, and I like that too when they're inside certain other houses and they're doing the low light stuff.
Not
that you kind of
sound
doing.
But like lack of sound as
lack of sound is a great a great way to do that.
I think one of my favorite sequences was the dream sequence of Josh Brolin's character, because it was shot from like first person perspective, So it really felt like a dream. And because it was like, semi dark and like the camera's turning as if like a person is walking through a house and, doors are opening, but you're not seeing it because it's as if you're doing it, was absolutely terrifying
Oh, God,
because
yeah.
there's like, if anybody's ever had a nightmare where like you can't control what's going on and you're like fighting with yourself to even accomplish something within the dream, it felt just like that. And that was a really incredible bit of movie making, I thought.
And the every time you round a corner or whatever, you're expecting something to be there to want to hurt you or whatever. Because vaguely where what we're kind of doing here. We're in horror territory, but yeah.
And on top of that, I also love the interesting ability here to allow the audience to really use their imagination while they're watching this. Because setting up a camera, like we had in the end of the trailer there, or not at the end of the trailer, but like there's scenes of like an open doorway. It's pitch black. You can't really see anything inside. But can you? Because your mind starts
Yeah,
to
I know,
fill
'cause
things in.
it's exactly like nightmares that I have where you're like, you're looking and it's like you're trying to
Exactly.
make out something and it's like, is that something or is it just like
Is it a shape? Is it a shape in the room, or is it just your
Yes.
chair
Yeah.
group
Oh my
has
God, it was
come
so
alive?
awful.
Or those other ones, which I thought was really good, which is moving around a house and everything is normal and fine. But wait, what is that? Like when your brain finally kicks in and goes, that's not actually supposed to be there. That is not what you expect in that sort of thing. And you have to come back to it and you realize, shit, that's terrifying. Like these are the successful things about it, which is why I really hated watching it, but I enjoyed the shit out of the movie. Like it was just fun. And it was
Hey.
really fun. It like really, as I said, it was really fun taking Quinny along. So I recommend someone take someone who hasn't seen this shit before. But hey, sorry, Jill.
Yay.
On the tits off scale.
Yes.
Two tits off.
None left. Tits all
Just
gone.
none
Flying everywhere.
left. That's a big fat zero on the tits off scale.
They got they were like, Shinkansen hanging out the window tits. They're just gone.
I love that we both had the same image on that.
I love that they're connected, though. I just thought that they were like,
Well, they're connected for a while and then they go,
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh
great.
dear. I don't know how many tits are off for me because I was scared titless.
Well, there you go. That's a zero as well.
Yeah, like.
I don't know, just like in the last couple of movies that I've seen this month, I've just have not had a reaction like I did with this one.
Well, and you come out of it with a very distinct sense of, man, I've watched something. Like, it wasn't safe. It wasn't normal. It didn't feel like just your average fucking horror. Like, oh God, what was that movie we watched a couple of years back, The Nun? Like, based on the Conjuring thing. And it was just like, yeah, it's a horror film. Yes, there's a spooky nun. Cool. Like, in some ways, Smile was a little bit like that, though I did find it was creepy as fuck. But this, I don't know, this was doing something different. This was really going into a different level of scary
I feel
shit.
like collectively everyone was like in the film that I was sitting there going, and yes, and everyone just kind of decided not to talk about it anymore because too many people died and it was too freaky. And I'm like, yes, kind of like Barbarian, kind of like Weapons. We've watched it now, and fuck, a lot of stuff happened and things are good, but like just collectively not going to watch it again or not going to talk about it because you're still processing stuff about it. Anyway, look, but also. I can see why some people were unhappy with it.
What, where do
How
you think
so?
it didn't work?
It's interesting because, well, I don't think I can see how some people were a bit unhappy with it because they might have wanted to go more into the slasher horror kind of stuff at the end. Because I feel like there was the turn that happens and it goes into more explanations. You don't really understand exactly what's going on, but came to me it became more comedy and I was like, oh, I'm getting this now. you just have to go with it. And, you know, the ending isn't as satisfying, I think, that some people were really after, because it has no resolution for the characters. But, you know, I feel like after the tension of the first hour and a bit, I was like, I'm happy for it to just help me relieve the tension.
Yeah.
And also, you know, people can be sitting there going, oh, I didn't, you know, everyone thought it was great, but I didn't like it. I'm like, yeah, okay. I did.
Mm.
I thought it was fun.
I like Pretty Kanga's thing. I went in after hearing a ton of hype, and though I enjoyed it, I'm still firmly betitted.
Still, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can see why. So there is a massive tonal turn. Mm. Like,
yeah.
And there's a point where, like, it goes, we've already talked about where it ramps up the action, kind of the like the threat becomes a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another point a little bit later on where it takes a fairly sharp left turn into what could be seen as comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a comedic moment, but it kind of like washes all of the drama and the evil away and kind of leaves you with, okay, this was a really fucked up situation and, you know, a number of horrific things happened. But by the end of it, we're all able to walk away like and put the situation behind us. And I think if it hadn't have ended, you know, very finally, like the way it did, then it kind of leaves you open to explore that situation maybe happening again. So I think, like, yeah, I feel like the comedic twist of the ending was to relieve all of the tension that we built throughout the whole movie.
Absolutely.
But to do it in a way that wasn't necessarily with a scare.
Yeah. Though I would say that I felt like we started to get elements of comedy earlier.
Oh, okay.
Like, essentially, when we're introduced to one of the characters that we haven't talked about, that does kind of push the film into a different space. Mm-hmm. It goes from being kind of this uncertainty about what is happening to suddenly there is a focus for it. Mm-hmm. And the focus is, or could be, a letdown for people.
Okay.
And so I had that moment where I was like, that's a weird fucking choice, and I'm still creeped out. But yeah.
I'll stand by that choice because I think it's a good way to catch you unawares.
Sure. Yeah, very true. Very, very true.
So, Jill, while you try and find your tits to reattach them.
Where they go.
Somewhere in the fields of Japan as it's flown off through the shingle.
Quinny, do you have a rating for weapons?
Oh, yes.
Another rating.
That's a good question.
Okay.
I'm going to go 84. I was genuinely creeped out by most of the film, and I think it works incredibly well as a really proper good scary fucking horror. Your mileage is going to vary as to whether or not the last bit, like the last from a certain point onwards, works for you. For me, it did kind of make me go, huh? But it still kept the tension pretty high. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Cool. It's
84. If you've got a number, drop it in that chat. I look for them.
I was going to go 85.
Ah.
But I'm not. I'm going to go 86 because I like round math.
Okay.
So
nice Jill, even number.
Jill, you could totally frustrate me by adding an odd number
Kara dropped an 83, so fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, then I'll bring it back and I'll go for a 91.
So we can even it up. All right.
I'm going to go 90, but because of the odd number, I'll go 91. So even it out again.
Yeah, 86, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just like kind of watching Barbarian, like, what the fuck is happening? But it's really good. Can I recommend it to people? Yes, with fucking guardrails, as in, you know, Peter didn't come. That's okay. She's not going to see this. Yeah. You know, she's going to be like,
the kind of thing that Beck's going to like.
No, all of those kinds of things. Like, it's not for everyone, but I do think it's great. So yeah, that was my 86. And Jill, you've already got 91.
Yeah, 91. I have a horror friend, and I immediately went to her and said, hey, I watched Weapons. And yep. She's like, oh good, I'm gonna go and see it on Friday. And yep. Then when she came back to me, she's like, what the fuck, that was so good. She's like, that ending was so what the fuck. And I'm like, yeah, but it was great. And like, yeah, we were just like dissecting, you know, the way that they built tension and all that kind of stuff, and the payoffs were all really good. I got to say, the creative format for the storytelling was great. I thought that was very inventive for like a horror film. The anything that made me fucking scream, I'm like, yes, big ticks.
Yeah. So it takes a bit to actually get you to scream. I heard you scream and I thought, that wouldn't have
there been. Were so many moments throughout the film where I actually had to stop eating and drinking because holding on to the chair, and I'm like crawling back into the chair, like with my arms crossed, thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And yeah, it made me out loud scream, not just like shock. No, I screamed, and thank God it was like a loud tension release in the like audio of the film as well, to kind of cover up the embarrassment of me screaming in a horror movie. But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I had that thing is like, I like Weapons as a journey of a film. Like, I don't think that there's no point talking about a twist or a turn or this thing and this other, what the fuck. I'm like, I liked the journey of the film.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you don't get to have all of this fun in the end of the movie if you don't put in the work at the start of getting through the build-up.
Mm. Yeah. And by chopping it up and following...
you got to get to know the characters.
Yeah, and chopping up and following people at different... experiencing not the same time from a different perspective, but also, like, different times at different perspectives once you understood the establishment of the character.
You kind of start to get little other pieces within these people's stories so that you can like try to build what's happening before it's just revealed to you in the movie. So like you as an audience are actually doing work in the film too.
I like that. I really like the feeling that it was showing me things, but I wasn't being spoon-fed them.
Exactly.
And there are certain things that they showed and implied, but never actually said. So you have to make the assumption that character did that. They may not have, but it's fairly heavily implied. I love that. I love being asked as an audience to put a little bit of thought in. Crazy concept.
Yeah. Speaking of James, I actually have a James-heavy trailer for this. Just goes on about that. We'll do that and then come back and try not to spoil, but still talk about it a bit more in depth.
I'm calling about the $50,000 reward. For information about the missing kids. Because I know where they are.
Yeah, that was James. He was the junkie, and he had a tent and a very bad experience in a tent. Sure.
Just
Sure, we've all had a bad experience in a tent.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was really intense.
Oh God. We set you up for
yes.
that one.
And thankfully for people who haven't seen it in the show, like, no, thank you. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, but it's a really it's so good how it makes you go, fuck, I don't want to know about that. But it gives you an understanding about when you like, I feel like having watched it and then you look at all of the tense and spooky scenes that were through earlier in the movie, you're like, oh, that's not that spooky when you really think about it. It was our own imagination making it spookier than we thought. But again, of course,
it's legitimately fucking scary.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. I think I said to you guys afterwards, I thought we were going perhaps to go in a different direction with it. So there's a Stephen King short story that I love. Super short, like it's only like 5 or 6 pages or something like that, called Suffer the Little Children. It's in one of his short story collections, and it's about a teacher who starts seeing out of the corner of their eyes their primary school kids as like little demons, like, you know, that they're wrong, they're twisted, there's something fucked up about them, but only out of the corner of their eyes. So when they turn and look at them,
all the time.
Yeah. like, so that's just being a teacher. But then, yeah, one day teacher goes and one by one calls all the kids into her office and kills them.
Cool.
Yeah. And I thought maybe we were going to go into that direction. And I was like, okay, because that's one of my favorite stories, but it's still fucked up.
Yeah. Welcome to the thing about the unreliable like characters that we're following here. And like, I think, yes, Karina, I don't want to talk about the spoiler of the twists of why is it like, why is this all happening? Mainly because I don't think it doesn't do anything to give you a reason to go see the movie. Mm-hmm. I'd rather talk around it and let people go and see it and say, hey, did you like that? Because it's fucked up, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be like my mother who told me that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time, so that I don't even bother to watch Sixth Sense, yeah. And to this day have not watched it.
You know, Jill, I've got to say, I'm with you on that because it was spoiled. It was spoiled for me in the break room at a work thing, and I was like, oh, and they're like, oh, you haven't seen it. I'm like, no, because it came out yesterday.
Yeah, thanks.
yeah.
So I've never actually watched it.
Trying to watch like Battlestar Galactica, the 2000 series, and then somebody said to me, oh, I can't believe that such and such, such and such and such and such were the final Cylons. And I was like, what the fuck?
Thanks.
And they were like, oh, it's a joke. And I'm like, you weren't fucking joking.
No.
That's cool. Well, I got to interview them this fucking weekend, so great.
Well, look.
Yeah.
I think that the non-spoilery things I can say about it is that I was disappointed with was that the whole mystery is all about the kids, all right?
Okay. Mm.
And then you really don't get a good resolution with the kids.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit, I understand why they did the things that they did, but there isn't a great resolution really.
Yeah, I feel like you don't always have to have that in a film.
No, and
like
there
we
is
said
something...
like it was really the journey of the movie that was the reward.
I gotta say, by the end of it, like the kid who plays Alex, Carrie Christopher, like I didn't give a
gorgeous
shit about
little kid.
I was really disappointed with that kid right up until towards the end, and then I'm like, oh, that kid did a really fucking good job.
Fuck yeah.
Like having to do with a lot of adult themes and adult concepts by the end, and you're like, holy shit, that kid is either going to be a fucking saint or the devil.
Mm. And I do like that whilst it's avoiding tropes all over the place, you know, and it's doing everything it can to try and not be the obvious or whatever, you do still end up in a haunted house in a way. And, you know, it's... becomes,
yeah, with your don't go in the basement moment.
I know. You've got 100% your do not go in the basement moment. And I was like, yeah, cool. We're just, you know, we're hitting on those things because I do think there is something like really archetypal about certain ideas and horror concepts. And being chased around your own house is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And people that you know not being themselves is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and now you'll never look at a kid in a playground running like that with their arms out, being a plane without going, whoop.
Have you ever Naruto run?
Didn't you asked that question.
God,
I asked it off microphone.
I have dignity. I never Naruto run.
I have seen so many people Naruto run around conventions.
I bet you have.
You know, I've seen so many fucking
weeks. Yeah, they don't do it ironically either.
No. And I just wonder, I look at this and I was like, was that intentional? Did they know that they were doing the Naruto run?
This is not
run?
A Naruto run.
Oh, isn't it?
No, Naruto arm is like, the arms out, have to be out be back behind you.
Oh, okay, right, sorry.
Yeah,
right.
This was like,
Yeah, this is just like,
just like arms out.
To the side.
Yeah. Sort of straight down kind of thing. But I mean, you don't take anything you see on anime and try and replicate it in real life. You'll just hurt yourself.
Or someone else.
Yeah. Or both.
T-pose. Right, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Kind of planking. If only they were yelling skibbity rears when they ran around.
Yeah. Like there are so many really good, very quick jump scares. Like, you know, there's moments in a bed, there's moments, you know, all over the place where you're just like really good momentary jump scares, but it also does that very clever thing of going, we're building up to a jump scare, and then we're going to give you something that isn't the jump scare, but that can be really obvious. Like, we all know that if you're going to build up to a jump scare, you're not going to give us the jump scare. You're going to add in a thing. This one, I was like, actually, they were pretty good. Like, they weren't fake outs or anything. These felt like something that still maintained the tension.
See, I really wish we had been able to arrange it earlier for you to have seen Barbarian before this one.
We keep talking about it, like, but only for a very good reason.
I warn you, Quinny, it's not a fun watch. I'm not recommending this to you because I think you're going to have a good time. I'm recommending it for you because all of the tense and scary things that you kind of felt from Weapons, you're going to get in Barbarian again.
Okay, so can you give me a vague synopsis of what Barbarian is about?
It's about the dangers of Airbnb.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds boring, huh? Definitely not.
Yeah, but Justin Long is in it.
Yep.
And he's the red herring.
Right. So this is why you were all very excited when he showed up in this.
Yes!
As a thing, we're like,
when Justin Long shows up in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Right.
It does a little bit of the vignette things where it sort of takes the two things. It's like, it's following Justin Long and it's following another character and they're both staying at the same Airbnb. And then it's following
like
one.
A really good fake out in the beginning because you're like, oh, this is very much going to be this thing. And then it's not.
Yeah. It's
and
like,
then you're like, but wait, what the fuck is actually happening?
Yeah. And by the time you find out what the fuck is actually happening, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. And you're like, why? And why? And why?
No. Yeah. And then it just turns out it was just really, really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. But it is more your traditional horror, you know.
Right, because I looked at that and I thought it sounded a bit more like the torture porny kind of things, like
there's body horror elements in it, that's for sure.
There's a little bit of torture porn because I've got to also say there was just that thing of like, I don't want to be in that situation and it's a bit too graphic for me.
Yeah.
But you don't like, you know. It's just a good, it was the start of the way of building tension and confusing you by going, we're going to present you with a thing that says you're going down this road, but it's just going to kind of keep going. And then it's actually like, wait, I wasn't on a road at all. I was actually on a lake. How did I get in this lake? And I'm not in a boat. What is going on?
Sorry. I wanted to look up, torture porn films because I'm trying to think of a particular one.
Oh, what kind of results did you just get?
Well, yeah, this is not a good time. Hostel, that was the one that I was trying to find the name of. Hostel and Hostel 2. But I love
Not Hostile. You're saying Hostel.
Hostel, sorry, okay. Yeah. Like that was one of those ones where it's just like, you know, bad things happen to people. Human centipede, that kind of thing. Bad things happen to people. It's about the torture.
Yeah.
Salo, 120 Days of Sodom. So I'm looking down this list and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. I run to that one. Yeah, yeah, okay. And then I get Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. well done to whoever fucking wrote that list. Because that was comic timing like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, dear.
Look, there's, you know, like Weapons isn't a perfect film. There are some beats I think didn't quite land. Mm-hmm. And some decisions, as you said, like it goes a bit strange in the end, and you're like, either you're going to go with it or you're just going to be like, oh, that's silly or that's stupid. And it's like,
no, I was here for it.
Yeah, no, I was 100% there for it too.
Mm. I actually thought, and I said to a couple of people, I thought it let off the accelerator a little bit when they introduced the reason.
Yeah.
Like to me, when we started to get a few answers as to what was causing this, I felt like the tension ratcheted down a little bit.
I feel like they followed that through with the comedy though, but they did ramp back they did get back to the tension as they try to resolve everything. As you get to the resolution, you're ramping that sort of thing up again.
Yeah.
I felt they did it quite well. And, you know, the end of it was fun.
I think it's just like we're going to blow off all of the steam that, you know, of this movie.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it in a comedic way just to kind of like, get that all out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like by the end of it, the audience was all kind of like, fuck, that was weird and shit, and I don't know. But it was much more interesting to see that whole audience who had spent a good hour and a half, tense as fuck, absolutely sitting there going, what the fuck is happening? I don't want to be in this audience. Or thankfully, we're all experiencing this together. To then have a bit of what was that all about? And I love a confused audience. Not a confused audience like, why was Ice Cube in an ad for Amazon for 80 minutes? But more like, that was that good? Like, I had that thing when at the end of it, I was like, was that a good movie?
Yeah. And I think people will take away from it what they will. You know, they'll either enjoy bits of it or they won't, or they'll find some of it worked for them and some of it didn't.
Yeah.
But it's done very well. That's something that I do, you know, I'm happy to report that it's done a lot better than most of the other films that were released this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Like, based on its budget and everything, it's kicked the shit out of a couple of much bigger films.
Oh, good for them.
And yeah,
look,
one of them being Freakier Friday.
The Disney cash grab.
I'm happy that Zach Cregger, survived the bidding war for Weapons, and that Jordan Peele fired a couple of people over not getting it.
Oh,
well, yeah, we had a new Jordan Peele movie coming out soon.
Yes, but he was trying, like Jordan Peele was trying to get Zach Cregger's spec script for his production company and did not get it. And then fired two of his management people for not getting it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. But the really interesting thing, I think, for the next project that has been announced for this director is the Resident Evil reboot.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
And he's writing directing it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So I was like, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you never, like, a franchise with an established fan base and many attempts is fraught with peril.
But
it means we don't have to see fucking Mila Jovovich wheeled out again.
Hey, you leave Mila alone. She's supreme being.
I love that they even attempted another reboot a few years ago and just nobody paid any attention to it.
Yeah. I love that even one of them was a 3D one, which is like, you know your franchise is in trouble when you've gone through an era of 3D coming and going again. Like Jaws, Jaws 2, The Return, Jaws 3, Jaws 3D. Like, what the fuck?
Anyway. I'm trying to remember what that fucking... Oh, yeah. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
The one that nobody paid any attention to at all.
But I mean, you know, look.
Had no Miller in it.
It's...
Oh, well, look, I'm keen to see what he does next, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if he can make Resident Evil work. Because, like, to me, I think that's not actually, it shouldn't be that hard. Like, Resident Evil...
Yeah, it's really not. It's such a straightforward premise.
Yeah. You do a good, solid zombie film and you use the characters that are in the games. It's not that hard. Mm. I would fucking love to see this guy have a go at Silent Hill.
Yeah, that could have been... Like, Silent Hill would have been better than Resident Evil for this guy.
Yeah, I think his
disturbing... This guy is, like, so good at, like, suburban... dystopia.
Yeah.
So I think like Silent Hill would have been perfect for him.
Absolutely.
Am I the only one who didn't mind the Silent Hill film that came out with Ryder Mitchell? Like, I thought it was alright.
I liked it.
It's a bit freaky. And the Borg Queen as the evil witch woman.
That was another one where I was like, okay, it started really well, did some really good creepy stuff, and then ended poorly. But sure. Yeah, I quite like that.
I mean, I think in the idea of Zach Gregor, I'm kind of like, no, just let him cook. Don't give him a franchise. Don't make him do other shit. Just like, no, let him do his stories. He's doing quite well at the moment of just going Barbarian. Yeah, that's a good one. Weapons, pretty good. You know, what's the next one? And I don't pitch Quinny. Go for him. So, like, can you make the same horror film, but everything is shot during the day?
I would love to see somebody have a go at it. I haven't watched Midsommar, so.
Really?
Yeah.
It answers the question, who would you, like, you know, would you prefer a bear or a man in the woods?
Yeah, a bear. ¿Por qué no los dos?
I don't know, because I always looked at that and I thought it looked a little bit Wicker Man-ish, but now I'm completely confused as to what
Yes, but it's a woman, so it's a Wicker Woman.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, there are no bees.
Good, because there weren't any in the fucking original film.
No, but there was in the Nick Cage one.
Don't say it.
Not the bees.
Fucking, oh, you broke my legs.
it's very bad. Yeah, speaking of bad, what are we doing next week?
Oh, well.
Hopefully it's not a bad show.
Yeah. Two shows. Maybe a bit of it's the last two shows of the month. TV roundups. Where's my whip crack? Damn, where's recently. My fuck? I've got to get my whip crack again.
Two very different whip cracks.
it's the Chandler Bing whip crack.
Oh, there it is. There we go. Yay! Oh, hello. Sorry. Yes. We're having a TV roundup next week. Hey.
Okay. Ow. Also, I do want to mention very briefly that whilst we've been talking about the whip crack TV roundup of next week, we got to see Naked Gun, the new Naked Gun film. Dan and I went and watched that last week.
How was it?
I really had fun.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I should write a review because that will give it something. And I don't know if we could squeeze it in the next time, but it's okay. The first three Naked Guns that you go back and watch with Leslie Nielsen are great comedy films spoiled by some jokes of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, and then this one, I think they got the idea of the whole thing and they just kind of lent through the stuff. And what I liked about it was short. Oh, it was nice and tight. It was just dumb. And you're just having a bit of, it's just a fucking bit of a laugh. It's having a gag.
And it has that thing that the Naked Gun films always did really well, which is, we're just going to like constantly fire jokes at you.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a sight gag or a sound gag or something constantly. And even if they don't work, it's okay because the next one's here. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like the batting average is high. Like,
exactly.
You're just going to like fire jokes continuously for what was the runtime, 90 minutes or
whatever.
Yeah. What? Like if 75% of them hit, it was a successful movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what I liked most about it was it carried on the Naked Gun tradition of having an unexpected female lead in the film be fucking hilarious.
How was Pammy?
That's what I was saying. Great. Pammy was great. Like, definitely the picking up the title from Priscilla Presley, which is like, oh, Priscilla awesome. Presley. Oh, she's, yeah. Oh, fuck, she's very, very funny. And in this one, Pam's very, very funny.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I think Liam did a really good job too by refusing to even remotely break character.
Amazing.
In the sense of just like Leslie Nielsen, it was like, he is the straight character. That no matter what ridiculous or stupid thing he says or does or is doing in the film, never a change. Always ice-faced, absolutely carrying on like this is the most important thing. So that worked.
Good.
Yeah. Yep. Like the actual plot, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. It's unimportant. There's some guys that are doing some stuff. It's just all a
vehicle
about
for comedy.
Yeah, yep. it's the vehicle for the sight gags and the situational humor, and
it's a much needed bit of levity and brevity. There we go. Mm. Yeah, it's like solid, inoffensive, comedy.
Well, I'll look forward to trying to catch that at some point.
Yeah, it was nice being in a cinema with a whole bunch of people who were all laughing.
Oh, good.
You know, like that felt nice.
Yeah.
My favorite part was in the line beforehand, waiting to go in, and is what I would consider a young student from Afters walking past, going, "Oh, I love those Naked Gun films." And I was like, "Really? Because you haven't watched them in a while, have you? Because they're not all that great, man."
Let them live in the memory.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've watched them in recent memory, but you haven't watched them because there's some definitely aged
jokes. And if you haven't, you
there.
Still find them funny?
Then yes.
You may want to have a think about yourself there.
Yeah. Oh, there's that red pill over there you should be having.
Yeah. I do like that there are a couple of moments where it's like we're going to reference some of the older stuff. You know, it's like, oh, we're referencing Leslie Nielsen and we're referencing all of the other characters in there. And then it gets to O.J. Simpson and they're like, nope.
Oh, that was in the trailer. Nope. It was literally in the trailer. So it's not a spoiler. It's like, yeah, we're not going to talk about him. But next week, sorry, was saying earlier, we're doing Chief of War.
And Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal Season 2.
Got to do some catching up.
Chief of War has been an interesting one.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not C. There you go. There's my quick review.
That's the main question I have. Is
of Chief
C?
Of War, it is not C.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm respecting what they're doing in that, in Chief of War.
Cool.
And I know that it's led by Jason Momoa and Tim. But I'm finding more interesting things in the surrounding characters.
Excellent.
Mm. And I haven't even started Twisted Metal Season 2 yet.
Okay. Well, I finally have a weekend to myself, so I'm looking forward to doing some TV watching this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Already burnt through the first 4 episodes of Wednesday because they're giving us 2 half seasons.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? I haven't had a chance to check into it yet.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Nice. It's just decent TV.
I don't mind just a bit of good, nothing.
Yeah, you don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting with the brain.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to. Thanks everyone in the chat. Thanks for joining in with... Hopefully we've convinced you to see Weapons if you haven't already seen Weapons. I recommend.
But if you're not into scary shit, then we're probably not going to twist your arm.
Yep.
Oh, Predaganga's Resident Alien also wrapped up last week, which is... I'm glad that they got a chance to do an ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it sucks that they got cancelled, but isn't it nice that they got told they were getting cancelled with enough time?
Sure. And there's a new Outlander season? Great.
No, it's a spin-off series. Yeah.
Prequel okay. or something? Or different
yes, time period? It's about somebody, one of the characters' parents or something. I don't know. I've never watched Outlander.
No. So more Scottish sexual assault, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me wonder.
I've got to go back and finish watching the Ice Cube War of the Worlds. So, all right. Very busy for the evening.
Huh? Don't do it. Why would you do that? Oh, by the way, I finally got to watching Jurassic World.
Oh, how did you go? Danny.
Jesus, God. Yeah. That movie is dumb with a capital D.
How did you go with Dopasaurus?
Dopasaurus was big and stupid, but like the thing that really bugged me about that movie, like there's a lot of dumb shit in that film. Like on a many, many levels. But
yes.
The fact that they go to an island, they have what appears to be an Aztec or Mayan temple carved into a cliff.
Yeah.
That nobody spends more than less a second mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they have the ability to go from the top of the cliff down some stairs all the way to the bottom in less than a second. Like characters are teleporting from the top of a cliff to a bottom. I was like, cool,
did
sweet.
Did you like the awkward threesome?
Oh. Little slutty man in the cuck chair looking at the two gigantosauruses getting it on.
Little slutty also, man trying to join in and them going, what are you doing?
Yeah. The thing that really got me about that is the tails on them. Like, I get that they're trying to make this beautiful and everything, but nothing that big is going to have a tail that long and whippy and light. And I don't know, it felt like I was watching...
Diplodocus literally did.
Like, but that long?
Yeah, did you watch the Walking with Dinosaurs show?
No, I haven't.
They look also, like that too.
Also, don't shy away from it. If you're going to show two dinosaurs getting it on, let's see some Dino Don.
Yeah, I want to see Dino Don.
I want to see a penis the size of a bus.
I want to see a character get jizzed on. I just want to see Scully Hansen with just like a cum dump from head to toe.
You know, like the character at the end of Ghostbusters.
Like covered getting in, slimed, yeah.
Covered in white.
They knew that they couldn't do that to Scarlett Johansson's character at all.
Yeah, they would have had to pay her a lot more.
But yeah, like there were so many things. I was like, I know what you're doing here. You're meant to make it look pretty. You're meant to make this artistic. I kept on thinking, am I in fucking Pandora? Is this Avatar? What's
don't watch Walking with Dinosaurs, bro.
Yeah, like I thought they were having sex with those weird long tails.
No, PG film. It was very strange. We better go though. So it's been too long. No, no, it's fine. It's fine. We'll all get there. I've got to order my Amazon packages through Amazon Prime.
I feel like something's gotten into your head. I don't know why.
Oh, well, what could that possibly be? I'm not a susceptible to marketing at all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Thanks everybody. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.